good morning. I want to welcome all of you here on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Also, those of you that have joined us on our Facebook Live and via our phone patch. We have our brother Donnie Mattson from the Hawkinson congregation that's going to serve us this morning. We're going to open our service with song number 481, Praise My Soul, Thou King of Heaven, number 481. Before we pray, I want to bring greetings from our brother Tom and Lori. I was able to go out with Tom yesterday for a cup of coffee. He's starting or continuing to progress, which is a special blessing to all of us to hear, I'm sure. And to continue to remember them in prayer, and they thank you for the multitude of prayers that have been sent their way. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, we come before you in that name that has been given above every name, that name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Father, that even today we can approach unto you, not because we offer anything of ourselves, anything that we can boast of, but because of that work of salvation, because of your great love toward us that sent your Son into this world, who willingly came to bear the sin debt of each one of us. Not only each one of us gathered here, but of the entire world, past and present and future. And so we pray, Father, that we, as your children, could indeed sing praise as we have just sung, to praise that speaks of the wondrous works that you have accomplished for us, the glory that you bring in the work of your Son, Christ Jesus, that has caused us to rejoice, that has brought us to that knowledge, first of all, that we are sinners in need of that grace, but also the forgiveness that comes through the message of the gospel. That word that is Christ himself has brought to us, that greatest joy that can be found here on earth and will one day redound throughout eternity in glory. And so we pray, Father, that even today, as our hearts are drawn to this word, as we continue to know the need that we have, and this is the place that we can find the supply, that today you would give each one of us a heart that would be willing to hear, hearts to believe this word that comes forth, to believe the word of truth that comes out of that book that you have supplied unto us, the scriptures that we preach from even today. And so we pray, Father, for first and foremost for this word as it goes forth into the world, as it has been a word that is continually going out. And we know, Father, that you reach out to all who will hear, that you cause that message to go forth in so many ways. And we pray, Father, that here today, as our brother Donnie rises to speak, that you would first and foremost cause that word to be effective within his heart. Allow the Spirit to bring that forth through the gift that you supply, that would bring forth the message that supplies unto us, that one that has been all in all to us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the natural blessings that we partake of, the bounty that you have supplied upon us, that you have given in this country that we live. And so we pray for the leaders of our land, you know, the various levels of government and those that bear rule over us. We pray first and foremost, Father, that you would cause that desire within their hearts to hear the message of the gospel, that they would come to know the peace that there is in Christ Jesus. We know that this kingdom that you have supplied unto us is a marvelous kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. And so may it abound in lands across this world, that we might know the goodness and the grace that you have desired to bestow upon humanity. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless those that are in times of trouble, those that struggle with the difficulties of this life, the health concerns, those that struggle with the doubts and the fears, the mind. There are so many things that seem to plague us because of that original sin that resides within us. But we know, Father, that there is one that is able to overcome. Your Son, who has provided for us that which is able to bring us not only through this time, but also on to eternity. And now we pray, Father, that you would hear that prayer that your Son himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue with song number 739 from our supplement, I Surrender All, number 739.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to have visitors here this morning. We appreciate the fact that you have come to share this time of fellowship with us. And we pray that this word today would be a blessing to each one of you. Our psalm for today is from Psalm 85, and that is found on page 462 in the Pew Bible. We're going to read the last six verses of Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13. At Psalm 85, beginning with verse 8, we read in Jesus' name. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that feareth him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. It's a marvelous psalm, isn't it? The title of this psalm is To the Chief Musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. You know, it's one of the psalms that I think is special as we consider the writings that were put here. You know, the psalmist has spoken of a captivity in the early part of that psalm. And many have tied that back to the children of Israel and the Babylonian captivity. And we know that that just about destroyed the nation of Israel. You know, our God is faithful to his promises, isn't he? He's one who has never turned back from the promises that he made right there in the Garden of Eden. And he continues to bring the message of salvation. You know, and what an amazing thing when the psalmist here in verse 7, he says, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. You know, the work that God works within the human heart is a work of humility. It brings us to a place of hearing and of listening. Listening to what God has said, not what man has said or designed, but what God himself has spoken. And so he begins with verse 8, he says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. There is no peace outside of that which Christ Jesus brings into the human heart, because, you know, it simply does not exist because of the reason of sin. But the blessing is that we have a God who will speak peace unto us. And he says, surely his salvation is nigh unto them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And then I love these next couple of verses. They just seem to just resonate within the heart of the believer. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth, the truth of who we are, is measured against the truth of our God. And we have to submit, don't we? We have to come to that place and say, amen, Lord, so it is that you have brought to us the truth. And it says, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The truth that we are, that spring out of the earth, that we are sinners, and the righteousness that comes down from heaven through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ causes us to rejoice and to give thanks. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. You know, this blessing that he supplies unto us, he says, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps, not in our steps. We are prone to wander, right? Isn't the songwriter has made known? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But the righteousness of our God, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling within us in that new man, creating a new man within us, causes our hearts the desire to walk after the footsteps that our God has planned for us. Let's pray that God would continue to bless his word wherever it is spoken, wherever it is measured today in this world that we live. Let's continue now with song number 350, and then our brother Donnie will bring the message. Number 350.
Thank you.
Good morning. Kim would really like to be here. She does. She wanted me to make sure you know that she does like coming here. But two of our daughters from the UP came in late last night. We had a preterm grandchild born to Layson and Sabrina, and we're having a service Tuesday for her. So Stacia and Kendra came, and I hate to say it, but the Seattle congregation is second best this morning for Kim. But be greeted from her. I also was in some meetings with Pastor Jacob, Pastor Phil, Pastor Jason on Thursday, and they said to make sure I bring greetings to you folks. So be greeted from the bishops there in Clark County. We'll be reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15, which is page number 836 in your pew Bibles. And I will read in Jesus' name. But before I read, the greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we will read and speak this morning, beginning with verse 5 of Romans chapter 10 and reading to verse 15. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. Paul hearkens back to the books of Moses, Leviticus chapter 18 with verse 5. In fact, it's Leviticus 18 verse 5 as well. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. And Moses says, Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. There's one way
to beat death. And that's to keep the judgments of God, keep the commandments of God. For to break the commandments of God is sin. It's a violation of God Himself, as the commandments describe for us the nature and the character of the living God. And it was the sin of Adam and Eve, as well ours, that would follow, that brought and brings death into this world. The perfection of God's creation was defiled as God lifted His hand of blessing from what He had created, when He was violated by our sin. And so death has entered the world. So humanity's situation is dire. As I said, there's only one way to beat death, and that's to be like God in every way. But he goes on and says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. And again, the apostle borrows from Moses, I believe it's the third chapter of Deuteronomy. He doesn't quote directly or as directly in this place, but instead he just borrows the phrases that Moses used to say, don't say in your heart who's going to ascend up to heaven to find out what God wants from us. And Moses goes on and says, or who's going to go out into the deep to find out, into the sea, to find out what God wants from us. No, we have His commands. We know His commands. We know as Moses went on this, up to Sinai, and God gave them to him. And he wrote them on, God wrote them on tablets of stone, and Moses recorded all the inspired history that God gave him in the five books of Moses. So Moses is saying that we have God's word in our hearts and on our lips. So don't think that you don't know what God wants from you. But notice here, as the apostle speaks, and he admonishes these people, that he's admonishing those who actually name the name of Christ. Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. It's true that Christ's name is invoked in many, many places and many ways. Apostle Paul himself speaks of people invoking Christ's name out of vainglory or different nefarious reasons from their hearts. And even in this, the apostle rejoices that this powerful name of Jesus is even mentioned, even if it's in a way that isn't so pure. Paul rejoices in this. But he's speaking to Christians here, those who name the name of Christ. He's speaking to them of the musings that go on within their hearts. He says, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven. So with these Christians, there's certainly a knowledge of sin. They're questioning who is going to bring Jesus to us. There's a knowledge of, they know they need Christ, but the question arises as Paul addresses them, arises in their hearts perhaps, that how are we going to attract this mercy of God that we are so desperately in need of? And this is actually what we would term legalism. There's an acknowledgement of a need for Christ. There's an acknowledgement of sin, which is good. But yet they're holding back something for themselves to attract God's mercy and grace, to attract Christ's favor, which they know they need. What should we do to attain Christ's attention, his favor on us. And this is what the apostle is going into battle against with this verse. No, we cannot attain Christ's favor. We do not attain Christ's favor. It's purely of grace that Jesus Christ comes to us with his word, his favor, his grace, his blood. And he goes on and says, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? One might think that he's just kind of repeating himself to make the same point, but as we look farther into our text, we find the resurrection does come to bear in a more defined way, so we can then ask, is Paul admonishing those who might in their heart question the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Is he admonishing the possibility of pure rank unbelief that maybe lurks unspoke of within people's hearts? Or is he just addressing, and maybe he's addressing both, the heart that wavers? They don't speak up, but they wonder, is this all really true? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Is there ever a temptation to make the resurrection of Jesus Christ something which it isn't? Something plausible and reasonable to the world around us? During the aftermath of the Enlightenment, something we would call Enlightenment theology, I suppose, came to exist where they started to do this with everything in the Bible, to make it something that was more palatable, more easy to accept, easy to others understand. No, Jesus doesn't merely abide in your hearts by faith. That's not the resurrection of the dead. No, he hasn't merely risen in your hearts. We know that he has. That is, we are empowered and inspired and filled with the love to live a resurrection life. This is indeed scriptural, but that's not merely what he does. I don't see this as a danger here amongst you folks, but we must remember that we are Lutherans, and we are Lutherans even of a pietist bent. And there's a history of Lutherans of a pietist bent slipping into this kind of Enlightenment theology. So let this serve as a warning to you this morning. Faith is not creative. There's no such thing as our reality or our truth or my reality or my truth. No, truth is absolute and unchanging and has existed in this world since God created it. And we have it on the pages of Holy Scriptures, and we bear it in our hearts and in our mouth as we proclaim to you what the pages of Holy Scriptures say. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So faith is a strong conviction and trust in what the word says. And the word says that Jesus has come to us. He came as a babe in the manger, the incarnation. The word is very clear that he defied sin. He did not sin one time, and thereby he defied death and rose again from the dead. And he's been joined to us by his holy word and in his sacrament. This is what the Bible says and teaches. And from the abundance of the heart now, the mouth speaks, the word tells us. And he comes to you today in his word and in his sacrament, giving you everything that he is and has, and that includes his righteousness. And what a wonderful thing that is, to be pure in Christ Jesus, simply because he comes to you and gives to you the faith to receive him. That is, he says, the apostle says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A confession without the heart's conviction would save nobody. Or, I should say, a confession without faith would save nobody. Faith is the conviction that the preposterous and the impossible has indeed come to pass. God does exist. God has become a man. The man Jesus has lived perfectly. He has died and suffered for our sins. He has defied death and rose again. And he does come to us today in the word and in the sacrament. This is ridiculous, but it's true. This is the conviction of the heart, believing in the heart. Completely righteous we are through receiving the righteousness of Christ through faith. And this results into a confession then unto salvation. In this faith then, we are able to receive what Christ brings to us. And now we could also say that the salvation which is being emphasized as we go on in our text, we'll see the salvation being emphasized is not only the salvation of our bodies and souls, but of many others. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Faith is willing to confess. We have nothing to fear. Death has been defied, and the worst that they can do to us is kill this body, which will raise again on the last day, no matter how or when it dies. And there will be no shame for the believer on the last day, as he'll be received in his resurrection body into the new heaven, into the new earth with its new heavens. For there is no difference, he says, between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Racism, though it was a stark reality with those who the apostle was addressing, so he uses it as an example of what is done away with in Christ. But all means all here. It doesn't merely mean Jew and Greek or black and white. It means weak and strong. It means old and young. It means rich and poor. God is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. The gospel text for today deals with the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, having been sent across to the other side while Christ went up on a mountain to pray. And we know the storm came up and the boat was tossed, and the disciples were pretty well convinced that this was it. Their life was over in this world. There was no hope left. But who came to them? Jesus came to them walking on the water. And they were horrified, supposing they'd seen some kind of a spirit coming to them. They had never seen a man walk on water before, though they had just witnessed him. Though it seems like perhaps they were in denial. They had witnessed him feeding 5,000 people. But here comes this person to them walking on the water. And they were grown men crying out in fear. And they were probably crying out from fear of the storm before that. Their situation was getting even worse in their minds. So they cry in fear. And then Jesus draws near to them with consoling words. Fear not. I'm not a spirit. It's me. And Peter then, with incredulous and wavering faith, says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to thee on the water. And Jesus says, come. So Peter tries to make his way to his Lord, and he begins to sink. And once again, he's crying out in fear, Lord, save me. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't walk on water. These waves are going to over, and Jesus reaches out his hands, and oh, ye of little faith, and he picks him up and brings him back to the boat. And they all worship him. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God, they say. But the key is this: Jesus came to them. Without Jesus coming to them, the outcome would have been far, far different. In spite of their best efforts, they yet failed in Peter. And Jesus reaches out his hands, brings him to the boat. This is our Lord. And this is how he comes to us this morning in the Word and Sacrament. He comes with his word and strengthens and engenders faith within us. Faith with which we can receive him and his righteousness and everything that he has and that he brought with him from the glories of heaven, the purity, the joy, and the love, and eternal life. And through this, our confession then is strengthened and inspired. So all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? It'll never happen. Would you ask your 2-year-old grandson or son to drive you from South Seattle or Tacoma to church on Sunday morning? No, you wouldn't. How shall anybody call on the Lord Jesus if they don't believe on him? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? It's absolutely impossible. How it's like he doesn't even exist to them. They don't hear about him. And how shall they preach? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know, if a tree doesn't fall in the woods, and there's all kinds of people in the woods there to hear it, if it doesn't fall, are they going to hear it? If there's no confession of Christ, who's going to be saved? If there's no faith, who's going to believe? How is anybody going to attain unto everlasting life? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. One might say, well, the Holy Spirit's around. He can do what he wants. And that's true, he can. But God has ordained a certain way that his word's going to go forth. And that's through his word, his creative, all-powerful word, through preaching, through its connection as the Scriptures connect it to the sacraments, faith is engendered, faith is given, faith is strengthened. And so we believe because the Word of God, it's in our heart, in our mouth, comes to us. Jesus comes to us. He comes to us. We know that Jesus commissioned his apostles, and by extension the church, he is commissioned to go and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And again, it's the urgency of gratitude and love that inspires our confession. Truly, we're all called upon, you are all called upon to confess Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, and this with meekness and fear. And as well, the organized churches to continue calling and sending. You guys have called, you have sent. I wouldn't be here this morning if you hadn't called me and sent me up I-5 to come here and share the word with you. Keep calling and sending preachers. This is how God has ordained that his word would reach people and bring faith and grace to them. Titus 1:5, for this cause, Paul says, I left thee in Crete, and he's talking to Titus, that thou shouldest set in order all the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. And this cause was making God's word, his will, his commandments, his character, his grace, his righteousness known to people. For this cause, the church is organized. Don't get unorganized. Yes, in your daily lives, confess the name of Christ. Be prepared to give an answer if anybody would ask. Maybe even approach them from time to time and ask them if there's a hope within. This is scriptural. But the church is organized for a reason, and that's to bring the confession of Jesus Christ to men. Thank you for sending me up here this morning, or calling me to you, both officially and unofficially. The confession of Jesus is to go forth, and it's always beautiful. To me, I always say, I don't know how feet and beautiful go together in the same sentence. But there is truly a beauty in the feet of those who bring the gospel, who bring Jesus Christ to people. And no doubt this is tied to the ancient messengers who probably carried the messages from city to city and from battlefield to the palace, probably with bare feet, so they were exposed. But the feet of those who bear the gospel of Christ are no more swift to shed blood. As Paul in the third chapter of Romans concludes that all people are swift to shed blood and many other vile things he mentions about all humanity outside of Jesus. And nor are they any more like those who the proverb writer mentions, the seven things that God hates, swift running to mischief. No, the beauty in the feet of those who bring the gospel of good tidings about Jesus Christ is that inspiration of love that we have mentioned a few times. That being swift and running to share with somebody else, to bring Jesus to somebody else, as we've been so blessedly empowered to do by the power of the Holy Spirit and his holy word. It's the beauty of having a concern and a love for others. And yes, I know they say St. Francis said at one time, and I think it's rather obscure if he actually ever said this, but preach Christ to all the world, and if necessary, use words. I don't believe St. Francis actually said that, and the Bible certainly doesn't say it. But with your lives, you do confess Christ. With the love you show to others, you do confess Christ as well. Feet that are swift to run to the aid of their fellow men. Psalms 147. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. And this commandment here is God's law. But this God's law, when we receive it through faith, it becomes a definition for us. Yes, of our sin. We always recognize that the law accuses us and points out our failures within ourselves. But God's law is an explanation of God's very, very character. It's a definition of pure love. And he sends forth his pure love upon the earth. And his word, the psalmist says, runs very swiftly. So we have swift feet to carry the love of God, to carry Christ's perfection to people. So they can engender faith within them and allow them to receive it as we have been so blessed to receive it and are blessed yet to receive it in the sacrament this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing now Psalm 467.
Thank you.
Let us pray with them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drinking all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Beseech thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's sing song number 173 as our song of thanks after communion, number 173.
Thanks to Donnie for making the drive up here and serving us, and we ask that you would bring Love and Greens back to Kim, the family, and those that you fellowship with there in Hawkinson. Schedule for the week, Tuesday we'll have a board meeting at 7 p.m., and then next Sunday we'll have church at 11, and we'll close with 582, and during which an offering will be taken.
Thank you. Thank you.